You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN, KGYM.
Coming your way from the Eco Nutrition Studios on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. Welcome aboard at 3:06 on this Tuesday, March 12th. It is the Gym Class right here on 1600 ESPN, as well as 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, the KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. Got a great show planned for you once again as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Gary Dolphin's going to join us coming up at the bottom of the hour. We will talk about the upcoming Big Ten men's basketball tournament. All things Hawkeyes with Gary. We'll do that coming up here in just a little bit. Big Ten men's basketball honors given out today. We will talk about that, the latest as far as bracketology is concerned, and a whole lot more, including an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update from Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. We will have that for you as well here on the program today. The Iowa State women in action tonight as they go for a Big 12 tournament championship as the Cyclones will take on number 2 seeded Texas. Last time Iowa State and Texas will play, barring something strange in the upcoming NCAA basketball tournament on the hardwood for women's basketball. Can Iowa State knock off number 1, followed by number 2? We will find out coming up tonight. 7:30 is the pregame time for you, and 8 o'clock, or just past 8 o'clock, from T-Mobile in Kansas City with the tip-off of that one. Text line is available, as always. We love interacting with our listeners out there. 319-366-1600. That is the text line, 319-366-1600. That is the phone line as well. If you'd like to pick up the phone and talk to Andrew today, who is on the other side of the glass.
How's it going?
It's going well. I mean, I'm not going to get into the whole background of this thing, but, you were going back and forth with some of the ladies here.
Yeah.
And we're not getting into that thing.
No.
We're not going to get into that thing today. But
the work shenanigans, like, that's what it is.
It frightened me a little bit. Yeah. I'm not going to lie to you. And it's like, what's going on here?
You just kind of walked into the middle of it, and it's done and over with, and it's not our problems anymore.
No. It's all good.
Yeah.
It's all good. It's all good. Mark's now on the back porch wondering, what are you talking about, along with everybody else in Eastern Iowa. Hi, Mark. How you doing?
I'm good, Scott, Andrew, everyone out there. And I'm happy to leave the female stuff to Andrew.
We can do that. Mm-hmm. We can do that. Just let you deal with it.
Yeah.
Just let you deal with all that stuff. Situation right there. As we mentioned, Gary Dolphin's going to join us coming up in just a little bit. College championship week continuing. You heard the Southern Conference title game last night. Not a bad one. Samford winning in Asheville, North Carolina, as they held off East Tennessee State in the longest game, non-overtime game of the men's basketball campaign so far in 2023-2024. So we had a little bit of a historical game. That game took over 2.5 hours to play last night, Mark. And ended up that Samford got the victory, and they go back to the tournament for the first time in 20 years. A few bubbles burst last night. The San Francisco Dons, even though I think that they could be an NCAA team, they have been in the past as kind of the third wheel of the West Coast Conference. They fell to Gonzaga last night in Las Vegas late in the West Coast Conference tournament. Stayed up way too late watching that thing, but it was a good ball game. And probably their bubble burst last night. Santa Clara certainly did. So it looks like the West Coast is only going to get two. So it's helping out my Indiana State Sycamore cause today. So good news on the Missouri Valley front today.
And that sets up what a Gonzaga St. Mary's matchup.
Yep, Gonzaga St. Mary's tonight.
Yeah,
they're both in. They're both in.
Tons of conference tournaments going on. We've got the Big 12 underway. UCF defeated Oklahoma State earlier, and tough season for Oklahoma State. A lot of folks wondering about the job of that head coach there. And the second game today in the Big 12, West Virginia leading Cincinnati narrowly, 43-39, just underway in the second half.
West Virginia's had a dreadful year, and if they lose this game, they are going to be 9-23. 9-23. Now, they've had all – turmoil has been the key word for the Mountaineers this year ever since that Huggy was popped for the DUI, was the coach. He insisted he was the coach. They said, you are not the coach. School won. But West Virginia is trying to oust the Cincinnati Bearcats right now, who are having a little bit of a rough time as well in their first year of Big 12 competition. Cincinnati, if they fell today, they would be 18-14. And that's a far cry from what they were before they joined the Big 12. Yeah, some of the bigger, the power conferences are getting underway. The Big 10 will get underway tomorrow. Big 12 getting underway today. It's coming down to the wire in the ACC in their first rounder. Notre Dame is leading Georgia Tech 82-80. That'll be followed by Louisville and North Carolina State coming up a little bit later on. Miami and Boston College will play as well. And there are some more matchups tonight that will have automatic bids tied to them, including the West Coast, as you mentioned, Gonzaga and St. Mary's, although they are both in the NCAA tournament at this time. Love this time of year, Mark. It's one of my favorite weeks of the year. These 3 weeks of basketball, it's a lot of hoops. There's a lot to digest, but, man, it's a lot of fun.
It is. In some ways, it's better than the NCAA tournament, although the stakes aren't nearly as high, but you have some upsets. We've already seen them. Six teams have qualified for the tournament so far. More coming up tonight and later in the week, and a lot of great matchups. And you get in the conference tournaments and teams know each other so well, it's kind of difficult to predict. And that's one thing we'll talk with Gary Dolphin about at Ohio State-Iowa matchup in the first round on Thursday.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. That is kind of an elimination, if you will. Iowa knows what they have to do. Ohio State knows what they have to do. And we'll talk about that with Dolph coming up in just a little bit. The Iowa State women, though, we mentioned they were just wrapping things up against number one seeded Oklahoma yesterday, as they will now take on number two seeded Texas. And interesting, and I'd like to hear maybe the Iowa State and Big 12 side of things with what their fans believe, that if this is the case. But Oklahoma was the top seed, but in my heart of hearts, nothing against Oklahoma and what they have accomplished this year. I think Kansas State and Texas, I think overall, were better teams. Just the way the schedule came down and they ended up with the second and third seeds. I think Texas is probably the top team in the Big 12. Now, if Iowa State and Audie Crooks and the outside shooters all get going tonight, they have been red hot over the last 3 weeks. And if Iowa State gets a victory tonight, I think that gets them off that 8 line, gets them up to at least a 7 line. And it's a lot better to be a 7 than an 8, Mark, as we know, in the NCAA basketball tournament.
Yeah, the 8-9 games are, you know, flip of a coin, pretty much. A 7-10, you get a little bit more of a breather, but not so much.
Well, you avoid the 1, too.
Iowa State is going to have to play just as well as they did yesterday against Oklahoma. Audie Crooks was Great inside. The outside shooting, I think 12, 13 three-pointers. Iowa State's going to need every bit of that against Texas, which I agree with you. I don't think it's Texas K-State. I think it's Texas. That's the best team in the Big 12, despite the fact Oklahoma won the league. Texas is number five in the country. Going to be a very solid seed. Number two seed, I should say, in the NCAA tournament. Crooks is going to have a big, big challenge tonight on the inside.
Yeah, she will. She will, but has been up to the challenge, up to the task so far. And a big thanks to Lisa Nolan Realtor, online at lisanolanrealtor.com. She is the sponsor for Iowa State men's and women's basketball as well as football all through the year right here on 1600 ESPN. And she will be bringing you that game tonight along with our other great Cyclone sponsors. And looking forward to that at 7:30. 319-366-1600. By the way, 2537 calls you Double Agent Andrew over there.
Well, you know that, did you hear about all the beef that was going on last week?
I don't want to know about it. I don't want to know. We don't have the time. Just you're in the middle of all this. And
yeah. I mean, at this point, a nickname could be Double Agent, like
Secret Agent Man Andrew.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe that's your new nickname for us.
Maybe, yeah.
We'll work on that.
Yeah.
We'll see what the listeners think out there. Big Ten all men's basketball team announced today, Mark, as well as player of the year, defensive player of the year, freshman of the year. Who knew there was an assistant coach of the year? Apparently that is a new award, the Howard Moore Assistant Coach of the Year Award. That is given out by the Big Ten coaches. You had the media with their awards as well. And a little bit of hand-wringing and consternation among some certain fan bases based on these teams. No problem with the player of the year. I don't think anybody in their right mind would say that Zach Edey is not the Big Ten's men's basketball player of the year. We have no problem with that, do we, Mark?
Zero.
Zero. Less than 0% problem with that. According to the coaches, the defensive player of the year, Ace Baldwin of Penn State, I think a very, very good choice. Sixth man of the year, that goes to Mason Gillis of Purdue. I have no problem with that. Did a very fine job coming off the bench. Not quite in double figures for the Boilermakers. The coaches came up with co-coaches of the year. Are you a co anything sort of guy? Not co-Hawks, a CO slash player of the year, coach of the year, whatever of the year. We've got co-coaches of the year in the Big Ten. Are you okay with that?
Generally, I'm not a co-guy, CO guy. But co-coaches of the year, I think it's very warranted in this case with Matt Painter of Purdue and Fred Hoiberg of Nebraska. And I think each coach would say the same about one another. In this case, I don't have a big problem with it. What I do have a problem with is co-freshman of the year.
Explain.
Owen Freeman shared the award with a young Indiana player whose name is very difficult to pronounce,
Abaco.
But I've seen him play. Very, very, very good player. And but, I mean, Freeman won the award for Freshman of the Week 9 times this year. I think, you know, Sellinger from Ohio State holds the record. But that was the opinion of the coaches, and there's some differences between the coaches and the media in terms of the first team. The coaches had Terrence Shannon on the first team. The media picked his teammate, Marcus Domask. So, you know, you're going to have that each and every year, I suppose. But I think I got that turned around. The coaches had Domask and the media Shannon. So, you know, flip a coin there, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting. Actually, they put Shannon and Domask on the first
team.
They did.
They did.
For the coaches, along with Zach Edey. Braden Smith is kind of the one that a lot of people are kind of throwing their arms up. The other Purdue player, if you will. Okay stats, not outstanding stats. I would not have put him on the first team. Jameer Young was on the first team as far as the media. I don't think there's any doubt. Yeah, Maryland wasn't great. We all know that. They were middle of the road, if not beyond middle of the road. But think how bad Maryland would have been without Jameer Young this year. And A.J. Storr of Wisconsin should have been on the first team. I mean, the guy averaged 17 points a game. He got on the second team, I believe, on both the media and the coaches. But, boy, I don't know. I would put him on the first team, and I would take off Braden Smith. Nothing against Braden Smith personally. I think A.J. Storr was the leader of a really good Wisconsin team.
I really agree with you. I don't know who I would take off. And let me, Department of Corrections, I got Domask and the Maryland player confused. But Dawson Garcia has a case.
Yeah.
I think he's a heck of a player for Minnesota. Now, the Gophers have kind of gone downhill. But Fred Hoiberg is going to tell you Tominaga is a first-teamer. I don't think he is, but he was on either the second or third team, depending on who you listen to. And each and every year, there's a lot of great players. And I don't know. If you watch Braden Smith, he's in a category with few others in terms of points, assist. He had a triple-double this year, I think. But by and large, two unanimous picks, Edey and Bowie, made a lot of sense to me. At least on the coach's side.
What are your thoughts out there? 319-366-1600. Interestingly enough, Tony Perkins made second team for the coaches, and on the media side of things, did not make second or third team. Peyton Sanford made the third team as far as the media is concerned. Josh Dix, Owen Freeman, Tony Perkins, and Ben Cricke, all honorable mention. Iowa led the world in honorable mention for the media, for all Big Ten. You mentioned Owen Freeman, as he was named co-freshman of the year by the coaches. He was standalone freshman of the year by the media. And on the text line, Matt Fairfax says, why does it matter Owen had to share? It's not like he got snubbed. He did still win it. Yes, he did. He had to share it on one side, did win it solo for the media. And, yeah, I don't know. It's a lot of people say it's a cop-out if you choose two instead of one. Certain situations, I'm with you, Mark. I think I'm okay with it. Fred Hoiberg, I think, certainly – along with Matt Painter, deserved to share the Coach of the Year honors. If Penn State doesn't dismiss, and the name escapes me right now, of their star player at the midpoint of the season, he probably is going to be an all-conference first-team player.
Yeah, in terms of the coaches, I mean, you think about the cases that can be made for Painter and Hoiberg. Painter was supposed to win the Big Ten and did. And Hoiberg, I don't recall for sure, Nebraska was not picked to finish in the top four, which it did. And I think you can lay out a case for either one. And in terms of the differences between coaches and media, maybe it's a case of the media seeing certain games or not seeing certain games or certain teams and players, whereas the coaches are entirely familiar. I'm kind of trashing my media friends here, but the coaches know, in my mind.
They do. 319-366-1600 here on the on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class on 1600 ESPN. I think, Troy, you hit it right on the button here. When you have about 50 teams in the conference, co-awards are just fine. Hey, wait till next year, right? When, what, 18 are going to be in there? Yeah, interestingly enough. 30-34 with a very interesting take here. The rewards tell you how good a job Fran is really doing with the team. Just a bunch of good players, not great players. I would agree. I am in the camp that Fran McCaffrey did an exemplary job this year with this team. It was expected to finish middle of the pack, maybe slightly beyond middle of the pack. They got to 10 wins, 10 and 10. As far as the league, I believe it was 10 and 10, or maybe it was 9-11. I don't know. Anyway, very close to the midpoint as far as the league standings are concerned. And I think he did a pretty good job. This was not going to be an NCAA team, I think, to start the year. It was an NIT team. And unless something strange happens in the next few days, I think it's going to end up as an NIT team.
Yeah, kind of a modern-day rarity. Iowa does not have a first-team All-Big Ten player. I mean, for several years now, it's the Garzas and Murrays among others. But no first-team All-Big Ten player. A couple second- or third-team. But, I'm trying to forget about the Illinois game from last Sunday in terms of Fran's coaching job. But there are some. And we'll ask Gary Dolphin what he thinks. Some believe this is Fran's best coaching job.
True. And 33-48 weighing in with bigger isn't always better, especially when it comes to postseason awards. Going to be tougher next year. One of the downsides of super conferences is that less kids get recognized. And that's very true. Maybe that's a reason why, Mark, you put in co-freshman of the year, or whatever the case may be. Iowa did finish 10 and 10. I should have known that. 319-366-1600. And 58-23, yeah, you always hear rumors at this time of the year talking about players and even coaches, et cetera, et cetera. And there was a big rumor going around last night, unbased, so I'm not even going to put out the rumor. You're going to get that at this time of the year, Mark. I mean, that's just a part of college athletics now, especially now with the portal and with NIL.
Yeah, and you'd be naive to think that it's not going to happen to your team. Whether that rumor, which you shared with me, comes to fruition, I think it may have some legs. I don't mean to keep people in the dark, but
But it's just not worth mentioning. It's not worth mentioning.
No, it isn't. Because it is a rumor right now, from what we know anyway. So, but it's going to happen. You know, in terms of the all-conference teams, they may go to 8 first-teamers next year. Who knows?
True. Everybody, you get a car, and you get a car. Certainly one of Fran's best jobs coaching this year, but has he lost the fan base? Asks 1577. I don't think so necessarily. It was a sellout Saturday at Carver. Now, granted, probably 20% of that was Illinois, but it was still a very enthusiastic. The students are not there, and for whatever reason, the case may
be. They're never there,
Scott. They're never. They haven't been there for 8 years. So, I mean, I've kind of dismissed that whole thing. To be bluntly honest with you, winning puts butts in the seats. And if Iowa turns this thing, goes from 10 and 10 in the Big Ten to, 13 and 7 next year, you're going to see more people in Carver-Hawkeye Arena. I mean, that's just the way of the world as far as sports is concerned. And Josh and Ely, before we get to an Emil Sideaway scoreboard update, should not underscore his staff either. They deserve a lot of credit. Fran recruits and puts good people around him. I would agree with that. Very good staff he's put together. Matt Gaten's especially, I think, getting a little bit of a younger skew in the last couple years. I think a very, very solid move as far as the Iowa staff is concerned. 319-366-1600. We're going to talk Iowa basketball and more with Gary Dolphin. We'll do that coming up in just a little bit here, in just a few minutes, as a matter of fact. After we get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update from Mark, it's brought to you by Emil's, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, here right across from the Lindale Mall. Open at 4 o'clock Monday through Saturday. They've got a fully stocked bar and a family-friendly dining area. Huge range of burgers and fries. They are made fresh daily, plus salads, pizza, pasta, soup, great sandwiches, including the Cuban, the Thai peanut butter burger. Mm-mm-mm. Check it all out at emilshideaway.com. What do we got today?
The Iowa baseball team, disappointing so far at 7-8, plays a one-off game, at Georgia. That game coming up at 4 o'clock Central Time. I'm sure Spencer will have an update perhaps on his show. Georgia comes in at 16-1 today. The Hawkeyes return home for a series with Western Illinois this weekend. PGA Commissioner Jay Monahan held his State of the Tour address today. Not a lot of meat on the bones, but he did say he had visited Saudi Arabia to visit with the investment fund officials in January, and that talks with LIV are progressing. In the NFL, after we went off the air yesterday, three Hawkeyes got paid. Geno Stone going to Cincinnati, A.J. Epenesa re-upping with Buffalo, and Noah Fant re-upping with Seattle, all on two-year deals. Highlights of today, Derrick Henry going to the Baltimore Ravens. Aaron Jones of the Packers going to Minnesota. Vikings also signing Sam Darnold. Joe Mixon heading for Houston. And linebacker Patrick Queen going to Pittsburgh. And the Iowa Print Sports Writers Association came out with its All-State Boys basketball teams today. Jesse Van Kalsbeek of MOC Floyd Valley is your Mr. Basketball. You can tell me a little bit about him, Scott. But plenty of area players on the four-class All-State teams, including Metro players Davis Kern of Linmar and Trey McGowan of Kennedy. First team in Class 4A.
Yeah, Van Kalsbeek is good. As with many, many terrific athletes in Northwest Iowa, he is going, as of right now, to Northwestern College. They're an NAIA power up in Orange City. There is talk, though, that he may open things up again, and he is certainly good enough to play Summit League basketball, certainly D2, either in the Northern Sun or the Great Valley League. And I think he may end up there or with one of the Dakota schools. 6'7", good player, had a great state tournament for MOC Floyd Valley. They won one, lost their second game down there, lost in the semifinals. But you know, we're not going to kid anybody. It wasn't the greatest year in the world for senior basketball players, and it must be a senior. That is one of the bylaws as far as Mr. Basketball is concerned. And in this, probably it came down to him, and then Bourne from Norwalk is going to be headed to UNI next year, and he got the nod.
Well, I'm prejudiced, but I don't think the media gets it wrong all too often on Mr. or Miss Iowa basketball, and there's been 40 years going back to Todd Birkenpass of Maple Valley in 1983 when Mr. Basketball was first announced. And just look at the names of players. Some are or have been in the NBA, gone on to great college careers, what have you. Iowa's pretty tradition-rich history of basketball.
Certainly does. We're going to talk to Gary Dolphin when we come back. It is 3:35 on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class. Stay with us. More to come right here on 1600 ESPN after this.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and we are going to have a mix of sun and clouds for the rest of the day with temperatures around 70 degrees. As we head into tonight, we'll have some clouds passing through and a few showers possible in the southeast. Tomorrow, we'll start with sunshine and temperatures will climb back into the 60s. We'll have clouds building back in and rain chances increasing as we head into tomorrow night with the chance for storms and some strong storms by Thursday afternoon. That's your latest Iowa News Now weather first forecast.
Choose family.
Choose friends.
Choose your community.
Choose local.
Choose local for everything. Clothes, food, a deserving charity, a new ride, or a place to keep your nest egg. When you buy from, invest in, or donate to businesses here in the corridor, you help keep our community strong and vibrant.
Choose local.
This message proudly presented by Randy's Flooring in Coralville and Cedar Rapids, Surgery Center Cedar Rapids, Orchestra Iowa, and 1600 ESPN.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league.
But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids. The official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
Life's better when you're under our roof because our agents can help you choose insurance to help protect what matters most. Life insurance from American Family Life Insurance Company can help financially protect your loved ones by replacing a portion of your income if you were to pass away. That means your family can have the help they need to continue to pursue their dreams.
Contact Kirk Gustafson, agent at 1715 Johnson Avenue Northwest in Cedar Rapids, or call 319-363-7214 today.
Products not available in all states. American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
American Family Insurance.
Back with you. It is a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class at 3:37 here on 1600 ESPN Eastern Iowa's home for sports. Scott, Mark, and Andrew with you, taking you through the 3 o'clock hour. Spencer on sports coming your way from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. Big Ten men's basketball tournament getting underway tomorrow at the Target Center in Minneapolis, and then the day after that, it'll be Iowa and Ohio State going at it in an early evening affair. And Gary Dolphin, kind enough to join us here, the play-by-play voice of the Iowa Hawkeyes, before he heads off to the Great North. I would say Great White North, but they haven't had much snow either in Minneapolis. So I don't know if you're going to get any golf in, but it's not going to be 10 below or anything like that, Gary.
No, I know you guys, you and Dookie, would pull the clubs out if it was anything close to freezing anywhere in the country. But I'm beyond that stage in life. I mean, I love the game, but I'll pass in any. What's all the rage now, these indoor golfing facilities that just boggle my mind? How many of them are there? There's one down there south on I-380 that, you know, looks like a six-story skyscraper. I'm just waiting for somebody to fall out the top row and land on the net, hopefully. But it's a great game, and I'm sure the commissioner has some interesting comments about the state of the PGA and LIV and all those other wonderful things that make up the great game of golf right now.
Well, we got basketball to think about, certainly, and Iowa and Ohio State, very interesting game. Ohio State playing as well as anybody, as you know, right now in the Big Ten. Tough first game matchup for Iowa, but if you can beat Ohio State, I think you can pretty much play with anybody.
Yeah, I thought it would have been Minnesota, so they would have had the home crowd, although there'll be a lot of Hawk fans out there at the Target Center. I'm anxious to call a game in there. I've never had that opportunity. Obviously, it's the first year for the Big Ten tournament at the Target Center, and judging by the noise last weekend with Caitlin and the women, it'll be loud again, and it should be. I mean, this has been a year unlike any that I can remember. I mean, other than Purdue and Illinois, who in my view are the two teams that are the class of the league, and then you have Michigan clearly at the bottom of the pack. The other 11 teams within 5-6 games of each other. That's 11 teams. That's just how balanced the league was this year. And this team coming to Minneapolis to face the Hawks on Thursday is playing, obviously, their best basketball. I didn't get the Chris Holtmann dismissal. You know, if you're going to get rid of a coach, I'm old school, wait till the end of the year, because they were well above 500 when Holton was there. They just were playing terrible in Big Ten play, and Jake Diebler has been on his staff for a number of years, so he's basically running the same system, but they won, five of their last six games, six and two down the stretch, second half of the season, and four in a row, and they beat Purdue out of the gate when Diebler took over. So, I mean, that tells me he's got the kids' attention. And I heard an interview with him the other day. He said that there's nothing major change-wise. He said that the big difference is everybody's getting an equal amount of minutes. And so they'll play eight, nine guys, and they've been sharing the minutes, and there's no jealousy whether you start or come off the bench. And to jump on the same page about sharing minutes and sharing the basketball, it's no small wonder that they're winning or playing the way they're playing. And what I remember about the first game in Iowa City a month ago was 15 lead changes and 10 ties. I might have that reversed, but it was a heck of a game. It was a two-point game at halftime, Ohio State favor, and the Hawks found a way to get it done. Now, they got to shoot the ball better. I've never seen a Fran McCaffrey team shoot the ball at the start of a game, and you know, 33% for the contest as bad as the Hawks did the other night. Now, I don't know, eight-day layoff. I know the players aren't going to blame it on that, but Josh Dix, I mean, he's staring down a wide-open rim at least three or four times. And the ball took a double look a few times from three and then hopped back out. It was just one of those nights. Obviously, Illinois is well-respected. They might have, man for man, they might have the best talent, including Purdue. They just don't have Zach Edey. And great tournament with I was listening to you guys go over the all-conference team. Every club has a star or two, and I think that's what's going to sell this tournament. I look forward to come back to Minneapolis a lot.
Yeah, Dolph, I want to get your reaction. Expand on it. You talked about the Illinois game. Iowa not exactly going into the Big Ten Conference Tournament on a high. I mean, I was frankly shocked at how Iowa played offensively and defensively, I guess, in the first 10 minutes, especially given senior night, what's at stake. Maybe just one of those games. What do you think?
Well, I think it's Mark, but I think the bigger issue, I mean, there are going to be nights, and you know, we've heard this, you guys have heard it, I've heard it since grade school. There'll be nights the ball just doesn't go in, but that doesn't mean you can't guard or rebound. Now, Iowa missed 42 shots. I've gone back through a couple years of box scores, and nowhere can I find an Iowa team that missed 42 shots. But they got out-rebounded by, I think, 25, something like that. Illinois had 50 rebounds. And like Fran said on the postgame show, we missed 42 shots. Well, you got to go get some of the misses. And I think Iowa had just a handful of offensive rebounds. And Illinois is a rebounding team. They are typically the flying Illini, and they sure are this year. But I agree with you defensively, Mark. They did not stop the basketball, and that's easier said than done with Terrence Shannon, because when he gets a full head of steam, I mean, he is intimidating when he's coming at you. And he split a number of double teams for dunks. And really, you know, the interesting thing is Illinois, the first, 8 minutes, they had only scored 10 points. So, I mean, they were missing shots and missing putbacks, but they were getting the rebounds, and they were scoring with Shannon leading the way. He got a couple breakaways and just overpowered the defenders for dunks. And that gave them some early momentum. But, you know, I give Iowa credit in that they got down 21 with still 9-10 minutes to go in the first half, and Brock Harding hopped off the bench and really was a spark plug, and they got back to within whatever it was, 8 at halftime, got to within 4. I mean, it's 51-47 with 9 minutes to go in the game. And so that I take solace in that heading to Minnesota. I think that's more the Iowa team you'll see Thursday night. Now, what you don't know is you're in a neutral setting, never played there before, different backgrounds. It still comes back to who's going to make the shots. And Ohio State and Iowa are two good shooting teams, so it should be a heck of a game.
Should be. Gary Dolphin joining us at 3:45 on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN. A lot of people, we've been having this conversation. I think the great majority of our listeners saying that this is one of Fran's best coaching jobs. Not a lot was expected of this team, probably middle of the road, maybe even on the other half of the 500 mark going into the season. Ended up, you know, with a chance to get at least a postseason berth, whether it's the NCAA or the NIT. I'm in that camp. I think this was one of Fran's better coaching jobs that he has done. What are your thoughts?
100%, Scott, no doubt about it. I mean, you go back at the beginning of the year, he's bringing in four pure freshmen, four first-year freshmen, a couple transfers. We all knew Cricky's numbers befitted his play. I mean, he's really a tremendous kid who plays hard, got off to a great start. And then once Big Ten defenses figured him out, saw a few tapes on him with the left hand and with that mid-range jump shot, they collared him for about a 4 or 5 game stretch, and then he got it back and really play well. It didn't play well the other night, but nobody did. But so you got a half a dozen new guys, not only playing for Coach McCaffrey and the staff, but trying to get to know each other. And Iowa's always been great at sharing the basketball. It just doesn't happen. That comes through hard work and practice. And I mean, you had three guys coming back that you expected big things out of. You know, Patrick McCaffrey had some injury issues with an ankle and took a mental health break for a couple games. But Peyton Sanford and Tony Perkins, and Patrick, by the way, was playing really well here in the last couple weeks. Peyton and Perkins, the two stud leaders of this team, have performed admirably more often than not. I felt bad for Tony the other night. I think he missed two dunks right at the rim. And, you know, he gets frustrated pretty easily, and you got to get him back on page one. And second half, he was still not shooting the ball well. I mean, when's the last time you saw Tony Perkins miss back-to-back free throws? I don't know that he's ever done that in his career. But I think when you look at the mix with and Harding and obviously Owen Freeman emerged, Price Sanford is learning now on a fast track. He's going to be a tremendous player, I think. Hopefully he's close to what Peyton is once he gets another offseason on the weights. And then Lagi Dembele. I mean, here's a kid who didn't pick up a basketball till he got to the States, but he was a great soccer player in high school. He's still learning the game, but I love his desire, his effort. You come in his lane trying to dunk over him, and you're going to end up on your head on the floor. He just says, not my block. So I really love this freshman class. And, you know, with Peyton coming back next year, Harding's going to have to play more. DeSante Bowen, they put him down for the end of the year with the knee surgery. So they got guys now, Scott, that have been together for a year. The tournament will help them. It's going to be difficult to make the NCAA. I mean, I'm not breaking any news here. A win over Illinois would have, I think, put them on the cusp of the tournament. I think they would have had to win one, maybe two, in Minneapolis. Now I think they got to run the table. They got to at least get to Sunday, and that would give them some impressive victories over some really good teams. But no, I think 18 wins. You know what really hurt them was the two home losses to Michigan and Maryland.
Yep.
You know, it's tough to win on the road in this league, but you got to win your home games and pick off a couple on the road. Now you reverse those two games, and now you're sitting here talking about a 12-8 team, and then I think they're a lock for the tournament.
Gary, I mentioned senior night, and everybody has a story, you know that, and often very good ones. I wanted to ask you in particular about Patrick McCaffrey. You're obviously very close to the program and the McCaffreys. I wanted to ask you your thoughts about him as a player and a person.
Well, the first thing I think about Patrick, Mark, is the word goofy. I mean, he just loves to have a good time. He's always the first one on the floor at shoot around or on game day. He comes out and, you know, they crank the music up and he's dancing around, taking jump shots. And then his teammates come out 15 minutes later and join him. And I think that speaks of his passion, not only for the big game of basketball, but playing for his dad. Academically, he's terrific. And I'm so proud of him for what he's had to put up with. When you think about it, Fran and I were talking about this the other night with the tournament approaching. You know, he went under the knife for that esophageal or throat cancer the day the Hawkeyes were playing in Dayton in the play-in games out in Dayton. And Fran, a private jet, flew him out after the surgery when Patrick was out of the operating room. You know, nobody knew then how he was going to come out of that. I mean, if he ever picked up a basketball and played, it would be a bonus. And look what he's done. I mean, 1,000-point career scorer. He's a great kid. He's got a great personality. People out there, there's some people that think, okay, Dad's favoring him. He's playing him more minutes than he should. Well, no, he's not. I mean, he was a 4- to 5-star widely heralded kid coming out of high school. A lot of schools wanted him. I guess the other option there, Mark, would be he just has had so much fun playing the games that he was able to play in. And that's what I always remember about him, how tough he was. He gutted it out. And you know, to have a health issue like he had, it's going to cause some mental health strain. And that set him back for a while. And there were times when they thought he was just going to quit the game, get his degree, and move on in life. But I'm proud of him the way he stuck it out. That tells me about his toughness. And he's going to be critical against the Buckeyes on Thursday.
Will be. Wanted to get this, and there's no right answer this before we depart here, Gary. And thanks for the time. Always appreciate it. But obviously, the understatement of the year, there's some success with the women's basketball program right now. And we've talked about this on the program here with our listeners. And is that maybe taking away a little bit from the men's basketball team and just the thoughts about what is going on that side of things as far as the basketball equation is concerned? And you want to have all your teams doing as well as they can. Like I said, I don't think there's a right answer to it, but, you know, it's a lot of people aren't paying a lot of attention right now to the men's team.
I think that's a fair assessment, Scott. My opinion is I think it does have an effect on attendance. You know, maybe I'm guessing there's a lot of first-time season ticket holders for Iowa women's basketball this year. They sold out every game, and I'm sure some of those folks were men's basketball season ticket holders. So there's probably some dollars that shifted that way, and you know, it's an ebb and flow world that we live in when it comes to sports. I know wrestling sells out every dual meet. The Hawkeyes are good at a lot of sports. I think the bigger issue with the men, if you're asking about support or attendance, is these crazy start times. You guys and I remember when you had a travel partner and you played on Thursday and Saturday every week in the Big Ten, and whoever you played on Thursday, you traded off with Wisconsin and played. You were in the state of Michigan, you'd play Michigan State Thursday and Michigan on Saturday. Now, I know that's a long time ago, and we're beyond that. But TV, television drives everything. That's where the dollars are. And if they want you to play at 6 or 6:30 on Sunday night, then you're going to play at that. I think the Hawks played an 8 o'clock or 8, maybe a 9 o'clock Eastern time zone game at Maryland this year. Got back at 2:30 in the morning. Now, as it pertains to Iowa, you know, we... Other than Cedar Rapids, maybe the Quad Cities is an hour, but at minimum, a lot of the season ticket base is Waterloo, Des Moines, Dubuque, and all parts everywhere else. And I think there's no question our season ticket holder base, at least for the men, is aging. And I can promise you that new athletic director Getz and Matt Henderson and everybody involved at the University of Iowa have been meeting long and hard on how to juice this thing up. Regardless of sport. And I know the students, I can't figure out why the students haven't come out. I mean, they get in for nothing, I think, or a very small price. I remember Steve Alford used to buy 50 pizzas and bring them out every home. That didn't do it. They're not going to come for free pizza. I know Carver kind of sits on an island out there. It isn't right next door to dorms, but maybe I just come from a different era because I'd be there every night.
Well, wait till 18 teams come into the Big Ten. You're going to have a 10 o'clock game before too much longer. But
yeah, that's going to be interesting, at least in this 70-year-old body.
All right, man. Hey, safe travels up to Minneapolis. Always fun catching up with you, and thanks for the time, Gary. Appreciate it.
Hey, great. Good hearing you and Dookie, as always, and thanks for having me on, Scott. See you guys.
All right. Gary Dolphin, the voice of the Hawkeyes, joining us. Quick break. Come back, and we'll wrap things up on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class right after this.
Hey, hungry? And your heart is ticking for chicken? Well, take a quick turn into Quickstar, because we got
no ordinary chicken.
Yeah, go wild with wings, next level super wings with trusty sidekick and sauces. Or let's talk tender, quick chick tenders. Love me tenders. Love me some quick tenders. Ours are bigger, better, tastier. Or if you're feeling good old school comfort fried chicken, we got it. Hand breaded down homier than anywhere. Quickstar, saving your nuggets from ordinary.
Every 40 seconds, a child is reported missing. Find the Children is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping find missing kids. You can be a part of their mission by donating your unwanted car. Call 1-800-294-0222. You'll receive the maximum tax deduction, and we provide fast, free pickup. Call 1-800-294-0222. Donate your unwanted or unused car. Call 1-800-294-0222. This advertisement was paid for in partnership with Cars R Us and Find the Children.
Planning for spring at Lowe's means big savings on outdoor power equipment. And Lowe's knows nothing feels better than free. Buy one select Ego string trimmer, leaf blower, or mower kit. Get one select 56-volt battery free. That's up to a $299 value. Power through spring with Ego, the number one rated brand in cordless outdoor power. Because Lowe's knows home improvement. Valid through 4/3 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Back with you here for our final couple of minutes on the Gym Class. Spencer on sports next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock, and then Iowa State Big 12 Championship Women's Basketball at 7:30 tonight. Cyclones, the fourth seed, will take on number two-seeded Texas tonight from T-Mobile Arena in Kansas City. And our thanks to Gary Dolphin for joining us. 3702 in the text line talking about Ohio State. They say the Buckeyes played tight and tentative under Holtman. He was always in his point guard's ear. Dealer took the reins off and let them play. And you see that a lot, Mark. You make a coaching change. Whether you agree with it or not in the middle of the year, sometimes it pays dividends. And it has with Ohio State. We'll see if they can keep it going or if Iowa can derail them coming up in about 48 hours in Minneapolis. Tomorrow we've got a big show. Mark Ironside will join us. We'll wrap up the Big Ten Wrestling Championships. The Iowa women win the national championship, and the Iowa State men's wrestling team, they win the Big 12 championship. We'll talk about all that coming up tomorrow. Scheduled to talk a little bit of bracketology with Mike DeCourcy as well. Hopefully his TV will allow him to come on with us tomorrow. So, Mark, we'll also have a Bowling Night in America preview for you. Have a good night, and we will catch up with you tomorrow.
I shall, Scott. You too, and I'll talk to you then.
All right, and Double Secret Agent Andrew, have a very, very good night.
You too.
Yeah, make sure you get all the scoop and the information.
Yeah, yep, I
all
will.
Right, very
I
good.
Will.
All right, Spencer on Sports coming your way next right here on 1600 ESPN, and we're back tomorrow at 3. Enjoy the basketball coming up tonight, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Every 40 seconds, a child is reported missing. That's 2,000 children every single day. It's a heart-wrenching reality that we can no longer ignore. Find the Children is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping find missing kids. You can be a part of